Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Oh, yeah. Oops, wrong song. We have a different situation going on here. Hold on. I'm going to run into an issue here. Don't ask me how that happened. From the border of liberty and prosperity. Well, not exactly. We're at an undisclosed location. Deep. In FEMA Region 5. I'll steal that introduction from somebody else. Actually, I'm not sure what FEMA region this is. How's everybody doing out there today? We are at... So, let me give you some info here. We're going to be broadcasting from various remote locations because I'm going to be on the road for the next couple of months. So, we're still getting used to things, and, you know, not very easy to carry all the broadcast stuff along with us. So, we're going to do the best we can here, and bear with us while we move into this next phase of Safety Wars. Been a couple of days finishing off one project, and we're starting new projects. So, I had lunch with someone very special that I want to do a shout out to him, and you know, a lot of encouragement, a lot of conversations and everything else. This person is an author, a recent author, and we're going to be promoting his book once I read it, right? And if you are a listener to Safety FM, then you will be able to, you know who I'm talking about. So, anyway, you'll be hearing more about it in the next couple of days. Working on our own books here, our own publications here. Anyway, it's here. It's Monday, April 14th. Tomorrow, I'm sure I'm going to be talking about tax day in the Titanic. Right, so tomorrow, April 15th, is the anniversary of the Titanic sinking. And it's, it was like one of my first disaster movies back in, had to be in the 1970s. I watched it with my parents and my father explaining the importance of, and this, not importance so much, the significance of that. A whole event on American history, on maritime history. So I'll be sharing some of my thoughts on that. So we're going to do something a little bit controversial here. I had to do something a little bit. I don't, you know, they say never trick your audience, right? And I always say, well, we're not here to trick the audience. What we are here for is to inform. We're here to educate. We're here to give you stuff that you don't see anywhere else out here. And, you know, before everybody starts calling me, let me turn everything off here. Because I see that happening once I start here. Oh, you know, Jim, blah, blah. You know how it goes. Jim, you shouldn't be talking about that. That's shameful. Well, you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about. And it's primarily safety in the news. And Government policy, things of that nature. And if we manage to go into hour two, what do we talk about? Politics. So, anyway, this is a from the EEOC, right? Here, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, right? EEOC. And let's go here. And, you know, if it's government website, we're going to obviously be sharing it for you. So here we have prohibited employment policies and practices. Under the laws enforced by the EEOC, it is illegal to discriminate against someone, applicant or employee, because of that person's race, color, religion, sex, including transgender status, sexual orientation, and pregnancy. This is right off of the website today. National origin, age, meaning 40 or older. So, you know, you better pay attention to that if you're dealing with me, right? I joke, right? Disability or genetic information. Genetic information, that's a new one because of sites like 23andMe. And there are other sites out there. Right, and it is also illegal to retaliate against a person because he or she complained about discrimination, filed a charge of discrimination, or participated in an employment discrimination investigation or lawsuit. The law forbids discrimination in every aspect of employment. The laws enforced by the EEOC prohibit an employer or other covered entity from using neutral employment policies and practices that have a disproportionately negative effect on applicants or employees of a particular race, color, religion, sex, including, you know, pregnancy, sexual orientation, transgenderism, or national origin, or an individual with a disability or class of individuals with disabilities. If the policies or practices at issue are not job-related and necessary to the operation of business. The laws enforced by the EEOC also prohibit an employer from using neutral employment policies, practices that have a disproportionate negative impact on applicants or employees above 40 or older. And it goes through this whole thing, how we're not supposed to do this, we're not, so, you know, EEOC, and no, we have the Americans with Disabilities Act, we're not going to discuss that, and everything else. Now, let me go back to the regular screen here because there, I have some non-governmental websites we're going to talk about here. So, here we have, this is off of a, what we used to call chat rooms or message boards, one of the popular ones. Quora is this one, Q-U-O-R-O-R-A. Right, so this is on... is it considered rude to ask an acquaintance about his or her race or ethnicity? And this is one. Yes, I think it's rude to ask, but not a deal breaker. It is rude to naturally bring up the same about yourself as soon as you feel comfortable enough. That is the natural way. And going on, right? And it goes on and on. Basically... rudeness is what all everything here is talking about, discrimination here and everything else. All right, so let's go on. And so about 2.5 million Americans will be receiving an application in the mail, and this is what it is. All right, so, okay. What is the person's age, and what is the person's date of birth? Is the person Hispanic, Latino, or Spanish origin? What is the person's race? Are they white? Are they black or African American? Are they American Indian or Alaska Native? Are they Chinese? Are they Filipino? Are they Asian Indian? Are they Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, Native Hawaiian, Samoan, Camero? I'm not sure what that is, and I apologize to anybody who fits that ethnic group there. I don't know what that is. Other Pacific Islander, For example, Tongan, Fijian, Marshallese, etc. Other Asian, like Pakistani, Cambodian, Hmong, etc. Or some other race. All right. So now, if there's two people, right, on this questionnaire, how is the person related to person number one? Opposite sex, husband, wife, or spouse. Opposite sex, unmarried partner. Same sex, husband, wife, or spouse. Same sex, unmarried partner. Biological son or daughter. Adopted son or daughter. Stepson or stepdaughter. Brother or sister. Father or mother. Grandchild. Parent-in-law. Son-in-law or daughter-in-law. Other relative. Roommate or housemate. Foster child. Other non-relative. What is person number two's sex? Male or female? And then, no, where are their national origin? All the things we just talked about. Here for person number one. They have a section for person number three. Same types of questions. All right. Now we're going to go down, and they have it listed here. For housing, which describes the building you're living in? A mobile home, a one-family house, detached from any other house, a one-family house attached to one or more houses, aka a duplex, a building with two apartments, a building with three or four apartments, a building with 5 to 9 apartments, and it goes on and on and on, a boat, RV, van, etc., down by the river. Just joking on that one, right? If you know the joke, you know the joke. Well, about when was this building built? And it has a whole list of things. At what point did person number one move into this house, apartment, or mobile home? How many acres is this house or mobile home on? In the past 12 months, what were the actual sales of all agricultural products from this property? That's a whole list. How many separate rooms are in this house, apartment, or mobile home? How many of these rooms are bedrooms? Does the house, apartment, or mobile home have hot and cold running water, a bathtub or shower, a sink or with a faucet, a stove or a range, or refrigerator? Is this house, an apartment, a mobile home connected to a public sewer? Can you or any other member of this household both make and receive phone calls when in the house? At this house, apartment, or mobile home, do you or any member of this household own or use any of the following types of computers? That's it, right? Desktop, smartphone, goes on. At this house, apartment, or mobile home, do you or a member of this household have access to the internet? Right? No. Hear about the $40 billion that went down the drain for universal access to the internet? Right? Didn't help anybody, and there was one television talk show host that went berserk on this, who's typically liberal. Do you have any member of this household have access to internet using, and it has a whole list? How many automobiles, vans, and trucks of 1 ton capacity or less are kept at home for use by members of this household? Do you have any member of this household own or lease an electric vehicle? Which fuel is most used for heating this house? It goes on, everything in here. Housing. Does this house, apartment, or mobile home use solar panels? What was the cost of electricity for this house? And it has a whole bunch of things on, gas, right? Meaning, home heating gas, natural gas sort of thing. Cost of water and sewer. What was the cost of oil, coal, kerosene, wood for this house, apartment, or mobile home? Did you get benefits in SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program? Is this house, apartment, or mobile home part of a homeowners association or a condo association? Is this house, apartment, or mobile home, right? What is the monthly rent for this house? Does the monthly rent include any meals? How much do you think this house, lot, and apartment, or mobile home, and lot of home would sell if it were for sale? What are the annual real estate taxes on this property? What is the annual payment for hire, hazard, or flood insurance on this property? Mortgage, right? Asks about mortgage payments, right? Does a regular monthly mortgage payment include payments for real estate taxes? Does the regular monthly mortgage payment right include payments for fire hazard or flood insurance? Do you have any, right? Now, I'm going to tell you from our conversations with Dawn Becker, a lot of people don't even know what they're covered for. They have no freaking clue, right? What they're doing. That's not her words. Those are my words. She's very polite, very nice, right? But they don't know what the hell's going on, a lot of people. Do you I'm going through a situation with my HOA, right, with this. Do you or any member of this household have a second mortgage? And it goes on with all that stuff. Person number one, please copy the name of person one from page two. Where was this person born? Is this person a citizen? When did this person come to live in the United States? Did this person go to college in the last 3 months? And what grade or level was this person attending? What is the highest level of school or degree this person has completed? What kind of degree? What is the person's ancestry or ethnic origin? We already answered that question. Does the person speak a language other than English? How well does this person speak English? Did the person live in this house or apartment 1 year ago? Where did this person live 1 year ago? What was the address, the city, and the town, and where are they from? Is this person currently covered by any of the following types of health insurance? Again, this is another question a lot of Americans cannot answer. All right? And then it asks you all about the premium for the plan. No, is the person deaf, hard of hearing, blind? Does the person have a physical, mental, or emotional condition? Does this person have a serious difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions? Does this person have serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs? Does this person have a difficulty dressing and bathing? So if you ever had a family member who has health issues, you'll understand where they are coming from with that question on that. All right, so we're going through this again. Because of a physical, mental, or emotional condition, does this person have difficulty doing errands alone, such as visiting a doctor's office or shopping? What is the person's marital status? Married? Now married? Widowed? Divorced? Separated? Never married? In the past 12 months, did this person get married, widowed, or divorced? How many times has this person been married? What in what year did this person last get married? In the past 12 months, has this person given birth to any children? Does this person have any of his or her own grandchildren under the age of 18 living in this house? Is this grandparent currently responsible for most of the basic needs of any grandchildren under the age of 18? How long has this grandparent been doing this? Has this person ever served on active duty in the armed forces, reserves, or National Guard? Never served in the military, only on active duty, now on active duty in the past, but not now. When did this person serve on active duty in the U.S. Armed Forces? And it gives you a list of dates. Oh, it goes on and on, folks. Last week, did this person work for pay or pay at a job? Last week, did this person do any work for pay? Work to pay. Is this person disabled for VA? And right, I skipped over those. What location did this person work last week? And he needs the address, the city and town. How did that person get to work? How many people, including this person, usually work on the car, truck, or van last week? Road to work. How many times did this person's trip to work usually begin? Hour, minute, right? AM or PM? How many minutes did it usually take this person to get from home work last week? Is this person unemployed? Are they looking for, it goes on and on. What kind of employer do you have? What's your income? And there's about a boatload of questions on income here, right? And then you mail it in. So My question to you is this. If we started out, this shit's either illegal or socially unacceptable to ask, right? You're not supposed to use any of this information. It's you, the average person, and making any decisions. And by the way, I think that's correct, right? If we don't like it in polite society and in employment to ask these questions, why the bleep are we letting the U.S. Census ask these questions? Fair question. Why is that okay? And that's got to be a... Now you're going to say, well, Jim, you're talking to the U.S. Census. Isn't that once every 10 years? No, what I just read to you... It's the American Community Survey that's filled out like every 2 years or every year or something like that. I'm told, I've been researching this for 2 weeks now. It's just I gotta concentrate on what I'm doing here. Why are we okay with this? Right? There's like 140 surveys that they do. What's the purpose? Why are we okay with this? We're supposed to be an inclusive society here. And as Morgan Freeman correctly pointed out, right, and several years ago, why do we keep on talking about this crap that divides us? Are we Americans? Are we human beings? Why? Valid question here. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who are very PO'd that they receive this survey. And it's supposed to be random. There's supposed to be like a 1 in 450 chance that you get this survey, sort of this. And they get angry. And so what do? Right? They don't answer the questions. With me, 1 year I lost the survey. I'll be honest with that. Right? With my lifestyle, which everybody points out is crazy. And they followed it up with a phone call. Mr. Polsley got to answer this. Well, okay, great. I answered it. Then what happened? Because this is like 50 questions. They say, well, it's only going to take a half an hour, 45 minutes. It took me like 2.5 hours. And I had to send this on over to my secretary, Tracy, because it was a business-oriented survey, to get numbers. Right? For this, I had this survey, and they also have one for businesses, right? I can see what the business one, right, being because they have a business license and there's certain requirements, fine, right? So, it's going to take a half an hour, 40, it takes hours to fill this out. And with the high illiteracy rates that we have here in this country, that's maybe another issue. Now, the question is this. I'm not saying, and I would never, ever say do anything illegal. I think everybody knows that about me here, my regular listeners. We do not do or advocate doing anything illegal. If you do not fill this out and send it in when you're supposed to, that is a federal offense, civil offense. Do they enforce it? Not really. Well, what happens if I don't answer? We have that answer too here. So what's the whole history behind this thing? So what's the whole history behind the U.S. Census? And we have that right here. Hold on. Or the American Community Survey. So we know we're familiar with the every 10-year census. And what we're taught in school, right? Well, we have, according to the Constitution, we have to have the census for apportionment of our House of Representatives, right? Every 10 years. Right? Yeah, okay, that's what the U.S. Constitution says. But almost immediately after they did this, and we're going to go through the history. They changed, you know, the whole thing. Well, what do you mean they changed all? Well, then they started asking all different other kinds of statistics. And it was right from the beginning of the year, of the thing, of the country. Now, originally, and this is going to be offensive to some people here, trigger warning. Originally, the census had to include African-American slaves. And what were they counted as? Three-fifths of a person. That's if you ever heard of three-fifths of a person, that's where it comes from, is the census, where they were counted as three-fifths of a person for apportionment in the House of Representatives, the number of representatives you get. And with this. Oh, by the way, all of this is supposed to be confidential, but we know due to current events that a lot of this crap is not confidential. Number one, right? Especially the IRS is supposed to be confidential. Well, guess what? Somebody got the IRS data, right? And they ended up, one report over the weekend was the guy said, I ain't giving it to you. I don't care what the court order says. And he was escorted from the building. I believe he resigned. But anyway, so we know that when the government says this is confidential, that's suspect right up in front. We know as safety professionals, I could go and I could actually go and cite to you a couple of cases, including one in North Carolina recently covered on this program, where companies were able to get people's names that filed an OSHA complaint. That's supposed to be confidential. Well, in North Carolina, one of the Herrick Teeter, is it Herrick or Teeter, right? The food chain place, right? They got a whole bunch of OSHA citations, North Carolina OSHA thrown out because they were not able to face their accuser. And that was one of the. So my question here is this. Why are they asking these questions? And there's a reason. And we're going to go into that after this commercial break. And I got to set this up here. So, Wrong one here.
Come and listen to a story about a man named Jim. Safety's his game and the odds were looking grim. Workplace hazards everywhere, from ladders to machines. He took on the mission to make those places clean.
Safety, that is. PPE. OSHA.
Visors near, but Jim is here. Clearing storms, making it clear. Safety's more than just a gear. It's our anthem, loud and sincere. Shoot it,
this is gonna blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, You heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Postel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of Safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now, and stay safe, folks.
Okay, so here we go. We are back here with this is the informational guide on the American Community Survey. No, we're not going to read all of it. So every 10 years since 1790, Congress has authorized the government to conduct a national census of the U.S. population. Right? So James Madison ensured that the Constitution gave Congress the authority to collect additional authority, additional information beyond the population count in order to enable future legislators to adapt to public measures, to particular circumstances of the community. In the 20th century, the questions were divided in between a short and long form. Only a subset of the population was required to answer the long form questions. And it goes into a little bit of the history here. And that was from a summary of the debate on the census bill from the House Representatives in 1790, there, right? Important, right? Most people probably never think about how local planners know where to target new development or where businesses get the data they need to plan for expansion. So what this is, I'm going to summarize this. We're trying to have data-driven decisions by the government, right? So data-driven decisions. My question is this. I'm from New Jersey. I'm from Rockland County, New York. All right. When has personal gain of some sort not entered into the picture? They're trying to make this, oh yeah, we're collecting this data because we know planners, we got to plan things out. Well, fair enough. And sometimes I can name one project, the Route 1 corridor, going through Mercer and Southern Middlesex County in New Jersey, over by the Quaker Ridge Mall, which I don't think is there anymore. Have been many years since I've been down in that neighborhood, up to Route 287 Edison. Now you did use this data for this, right? I remember at the time, me and I'll give him a shout out, Bruce Henderson, one of the former owners of Hastech. We had a conversation at the time. We were driving that road all the time. And yeah, they actually did use that. It took like 15 years of planning to do that. But okay, great. When it has money not entered into it or personal gain by the politicians all the time. So right off the bat, right now, they're trying to get you, well, hey, look, it's good for the community, it's good for this, it's good for that. But what happens is, especially in underserved communities, all right, especially with underserved communities, they don't see the positive impacts of this. When they're historically, they got to fill this out too. The ones that are compliant and fill this out, one of the arguments is, and all this data that I'm seeing, all these stories, is, hey, I was told it's going to benefit my community. There's no benefit to the community. So now, another reason, you know, with lies, right? Here. And, right, and what does it do, right? Collection, processing, and dissemination, right? And you could go on the census document, the census webpage, and find out all different types of statistics for the United States. So federal agencies, throughout the federal government, agencies use the American Community Survey, ACS, to inform public policymakers, distribute funds, and access programs. For example, the Department of Justice, Department of Labor, and EEOC use ACS estimates to enforce employment and anti-discrimination laws. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs uses ACS estimates to evaluate the need for health care. Now, well, let me point this out. All this has gone pretty much out the window. recently, right, with this, with the cuts, right? State and local agencies, same deal. What you want to know about citizens, educational attainment, and everything else, non-governmental organizations here, where they actually go out and they use this stuff for this. Emergency planners use ACS estimates to find local statistics critical to emergency planning, preparedness, and recovery efforts. And they talk about severe weather, natural disasters. So we know on this show, we talked about how, right, with the LA fires, perfect example, the LA fires, way under under planned for. All this data that's out there, do planners, like at the LA Fire Commission, actually read this crap? I read this stuff? Doesn't look like it. At all. You know, come on, guys. So this data's out there. Go on for some more. ACS estimates are available for tribal planners and administrators. For businesses, right? Well, it helps them make strategic decisions, like where to put the next Starbucks, right? Right, and other community services. Educators, to talk about, you're right. Again, the data sets are good. I know people are using data sets in the statistics community. So, okay. Journalists, we've used them before on here. The most recently, last week, we were talking about demography. The public, just general public, and everything else. Right? How is it selected? 1 in 480 chance of being selected in a month, and no addresses should be selected more than once every 5 years. Right? So in other words, so really piss people off. Census Bureau mails questionnaires to 295,000 addresses a month across the United States. Right? So they do a small statistical sampling, and they may follow up with personal visits, telephone calls. I got one of them. And here he goes. The current, in 1954, Congress codified earlier census acts and other statutes authorizing the decennial every 10-year census. For the first census act, Congress sought the collection of more information than just a headcount. Right, well, the current legal authority for collecting this information resides in Title 13 of the U.S. Code or the Census Act. The U.S. Census Act provides the Census Bureau the legal authority to conduct the decennial census and delegates broad discretionary authority to the Secretary of Commerce, right, run out of the Commerce Department, for the manner determining the of conducting the census. Courts routinely have upheld the constitutionality of collecting census data, characterizing it as unquestionable. The power of Congress require both enumeration and collection of statistics. Courts have held that the Constitution, including the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, does not prohibit the gathering of other statistics in accordance, right? Again, here are some other questions. Do I have to respond to it? Yes. Right? So, just like you're required to respond to jury duty, okay, that's equivalent, right? You got to go to jury duty. Get a driver's license order to drive, that's a privilege, that's not a right. Pay for their taxes, you know, tomorrow's April 15th, guys. Report their income, they also have an obligation to respond to census surveys. Someone came to my home to interview for the ACS. Is it legitimate? They, you know, you got to double check whether these people are, right? Right, here you go. What if I don't know about the exact answer? Well, if no one in your household knows the answer to a question, the information cannot be referenced in a bill or other document, please give your best estimate. I'm concerned about identity theft. I just commented on that. Computer security is an oxymoron, just to let you know. No such thing. Especially when they kick in with quantum computers in a couple of years. All this data is going to be open source. Doesn't the government already have the information? The answer is yes, but it's not statistically collected, and, you know, things like that. Remember, how many people lie on their taxes? A lot. We don't. I told my accountant everything is to be 100% correct on there. I don't want to have problems, right? Census Bureau is conducting research that's going to the use of information, right? And from other data sets from other agencies, right? And why do they ask for name and phone number? Again, and this is a filler, right? And they release that data all over that, right? So with that other information. So now you're right, we've been collecting this stuff for many, 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 many years. Now let's, right, with that. So what am I saying? My opinion, right? I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is a little bit too intrusive, and there's data, especially with the racial makeup of people. Not really, I don't like it, just to say the least, with that. All right, so set on out with this. All right. And we talked about that, right? So there are all different kinds of censuses here. So what if people don't, right, with the housing questions, what do? They use, or any questions really, they have other ways of getting the information. Some proxy, I like, my favorite one is proxy responses. If high quality administrative records aren't available for an address after initial visit, census takers continue to visit the address. They still can't get a response after three visits, and they try to get about information about the address from a neighbor. So now they're encouraging spying on your neighbor. Great, great, you know? Landlord or building manager. We refer to these as proxy responses. We also rely on these types of proxies to help us verify housing units that appear vacant or cannot be located. All right, so I was living next to an abandoned house. Since this guy came over, I asked, hey, Mr. Posel, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, it's an abandoned house. You don't have any other info? I have no idea what's going on down there. How many rooms? I have no idea. It's gutted. Been gutted for 20 years. Whatever. Not got it anymore, but you know, the outside was well maintained, so there's no, what can you say, right? Imputation. As a last resort, we use a statistical technique called imputation to fill the gaps in the data set. Makes an overall data set of census, in this case, more accurate than leaving the gaps blank. This has been very controversial with the every 10-year census, where they wanted to use analogs with that. And it goes into everything else with this. So this is from the Cato Institute, right, from May 21st, 2012, when they changed the policy with this here, right? So, and since 2005, this is an article from Andrew Colson. Since 2005, the Census Bureau has administered a set of probing questions into a large random sample of Americans each year. It's called the American Community Survey. Participation is mandatory, and the penalty for failing to apply is up to $5,000, which there's no records of anybody actually getting fined that. So the questions are prying, that are so prying that many people find it hard to believe the government would have the temerity to demand answers to them, and so conclude that it must be a scam operated by unscrupulous con artists. Others simply lack confidence in the federal government's promise to keep such information confidential, or perhaps not surprisingly, has shown itself incapable, or disinclined to keep its mouth shut about even life and death anti-terrorism operations. So in other words, this data goes on the shelf somewhere. And now there's been several attempts to revise this, most notably by Senator Rand Paul. With that, by the way, just to let you know, I worked in politics with his father on a couple of campaigns, right, Ron Paul. for complete disclosure. And here, Americans rightly expect to live their lives with a reasonable level of privacy. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution protects them from government searches unless there's some compelling reason for them, but the reasons for making the ACS mandatory are not all compelling to him, at least. Medical and social science researchers manage to deal with their inability to forcibly assign subjects to treatment and control groups. Political pollsters manage to reduce reasonable forecasts without being able to compel citizens to reveal how they will vote. And even when government is in possession of all necessary relevant data, it quite frequently makes, quote, idiotic, end quote, decisions anyway. So it isn't even clear that these ACS data would necessarily lead to more effective government programs. Right? Here we have another one. This is from the Pacific Legal Foundation. The Hill. What the government gets to know about you should be your choice. This is an article by Adi Dinar, June 27th of 2022. Basically, a lot of the same questions here. The right to privacy is an American as apple pie or baseball game on the 4th of July. Simply put, what the government gets to know about you should be your choice to make. And if a government agent comes to your home asking you to intrusive questions without a warrant or probable cause, you should have the undiluted right to tell them to take a hike. And so what the whole thing is in conclusion is evidence-based decision-making here. With this. Now, on the international level, how's the information used? Right? And this is from UNFPA, United Nations Population Fund. Right? And how is the information useful? It's a rather lengthy article here. I'm just going to go into the highlights. Today, with major demographic shifts occurring and increased attention in international development, accurate and timely data are more important than ever. The unique advantage of the census is that it represents the entire statistical universe down to the smallest geographical or administrative area of a country and region. Often a national census is the only source of information for identifying forms, social, demographic, and or economic exclusion. And of course, up to 107 and of the 231, I think this is more to the point here, right? So watch out for Agenda 2030 here. So, right, we're going to be talking about that in the future here as we move closer to Agenda 2030 from the UN. Often a national census only is, right? Up to 107 of 231 unique indicators of the Sustainable Development Goals. I'm going to bookmark this here on here, right? Add bookmark, okay. Also provides data on disadvantage, right? So, and it's all about sustainable development. That 1992 Rio de Janeiro conference, right? And now we have Agenda 2030. And it goes into this, right? This is from 2012 from Andrew Biggs from AEI, American Enterprise Institute, from 2012. He had given, is this the same Andrew Biggs? Yeah, it sounds like the same Andrew Biggs as with the NOSHA Act, which we discussed here. He says the mandatory, amazing that a man would be anti-OSHA would also be for this, right? Right? For several reasons, I believe that mandatory participation in the ACS remains a reasonable policy, right? Greater detail from the census, better government decisions, basically, right? And if we make this optional, we're not going to get good data, and it's going to cost more money. Third, and most importantly, right, and it says, well, if this stuff, now, if you violate policy, reportedly, there's a $250,000 fine if you any worker releases this data. Third, and most of all, without good data, policymakers are essentially flying blind, lacking solid knowledge of the Americans they need to assist. Right? Those who wish to make participation in ACS voluntary raise important points, and we should not allow our concern for individual policy to fade, even if we judge that mandatory participation is the best course. And the United States government exists to serve the people, not vice versa. Nevertheless, I believe the government can best serve the American people by continuing to gather high-quality survey data. So my question to you, what's your thoughts? Right? In the safety industry, we have a couple of points. Number one is this. If you measure it, it can be manipulated. So how reliable is this data? I think the data is probably pretty reliable. But how many times does someone ask you a survey and say, well, what's your income? And your income, and you say an income four times higher than what you have on there. How are they going to double check that? Well, you're lying. Well, I don't know. I just closed a business deal today. No, maybe it is $400,000 a year. How do I know? Well, what was last year's income? Well, it's not official income for another 3 years, according to my information, because you got 3 years to file a tax return. Sort of. I'm not saying don't file a tax return. I'm just saying it can't be finalized for until 3 years afterwards. So I don't know what to tell you folks here. Obey the law, obviously. That's what I'm going to tell you, number one. Number two, I think there are these questions on race, sexuality, things of that nature should not even be asked. This is, right, we fought a civil war here. Why are we doing this? Someone said, well, we got to divvy up government funds and blah, blah. Okay, I get it. I get it here. Now, I have an uneasiness with these things. What do we do? My question is this. You go down to your local town hall, or planning board, and they start talking about, or zoning board, all this crap. Ask the question, did you use census data to collect this data? Or what were you? We're supposed to be doing data-driven decisions in this town. That's what we're always talking about, data. Where did you get your data from? I have a feeling that most towns are not even going to ask. Sort of like when you ask about fire control in the town. Right? People were laughing last year or 2 years ago when I cleared around all the trees around from my house. Little did they know, the next year we had a drought and there was a forest fire. I wasn't too worried. Concerned, obviously, wasn't too worried because I don't have any trees next to the house. Right? I plan things out. What does that have to do? Well, you know, in your town, check out the wooded areas. Do they do any cleaning on that? Clearing? Because we know that these organizations have a history of not doing stuff like that. Okay. I'm going to end this early here. We're at 53 minutes. And I will see you folks, God willing, tomorrow. I'm going to try to have more programs. And when I get back to the studio, I get back to the studio with this. For Safety Wars is Jim Polzel. And good luck. Have a nice, safe day.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.